Election 2014, America sticks its head up its ass. From the palatial studios far away, here are two completely relaxed pundits who have taken their alcohol and their meds and are now prepared to sort through the wreckage. Here they are, Bill and Randy. And here we are on the Bill Show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my God, the humanity.
And here we are with a special edition. Attention, Mr. America, and all the chips at sea.
Randall Berger.
Hello, William.
So it's been such a great week, hasn't it?
Well, no.
No, it's been shit.
It's been terrible. I mean, in Australia, the first Tuesday in November is always something special here, but this year, the first Tuesday in November in America,
oh God,
was just terrible.
Oh my God,
You know,
Gott in Himmel.
Yeah, 4/11 was 9/11 for the Democrats. Yeah.
Well, here's what happened. This is from the NBC Nightly News. If you didn't know, here's what happened while we were away.
On our broadcast tonight, power shift, the Republican wave from east to west across the country, rising stars swept into Congress as the president reacts to a crushing defeat. Tonight, what it means for the next 2 years and the next race for the White House.
Yep, the shit has hit the fan, ladies and gentlemen.
Again.
Oh, my God. It's like the worst. Like, we're talking about the worst result for Democrats since Hoover.
Herbert Hoover.
Yeah, Herbert Hoover. You remember how that turned out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so depressing.
But I went over some. We were sitting there looking at the thing. And by the way, I was really upset by it.
But this has happened only, what? Second Clinton term was the same thing?
Yeah.
Majority Republican.
Yeah, but still, you know, I thought the Democrats have been just assholes.
Yeah.
They have been assholes. They have treated Obama terribly.
Hang on. I think this was like the last Australian election, and we're able to have them whenever we feel like it.
Yeah.
If it's not scheduled, whereas Americans only have to go out and vote once every 2 years. It's not that the Republicans won the election. I think the Democrats lost the election.
Yeah, I think the Democrats are absolutely right. I think
they lost the election.
Let's look at some of the actual numbers from the election.
Yeah, let's crunch the numbers.
Crunch the numbers. Well, actually, just stuff that I've looked up. Most dispiriting, that is because of the State of the Union that has improved so dramatically in the past 4 years. Now, if you're a Democrat and you can't defend this, listen, unemployment is down to 5.9%. The consumer confidence levels are back to levels that have not been seen since before the deep recession of 2007. The stock market record highs, while the annual federal budget deficit is less than half than it was when Barack Obama took office. That's right, you know, cleaning up the Republican mess.
So anyway, he cleaned up the mess, and people were not spurned to vote because there was nobody crawled up their ass and made them angry.
But I got to tell you, man, people overseas are just looking at this going, are you fucking retarded?
Yeah.
How, you know, really seriously, I talked to an Australian today, and they're just going, why would you remove him? What could you possibly
be thinking?
Well, they
haven't removed him. They've just elected a hostile house.
Well, I mean, the people that actually sabotaged, you know, because we went over them, didn't we?
Yeah.
We went over the legislation that was over 250 pieces of vital legislation that have been blocked by the Republicans.
Yeah. Benefits for homeless veterans and things like that.
Shit. Just absolute shit. Now, this is rather interesting. When you look at the numbers that voted, Randall, Democratic shares of the black and Hispanic vote were basically unchanged compared to 2010 in midterms. So blacks and Hispanics turned out. New York Times chart shows the Democrats actually did better among seniors than the 2010 election.
Yeah.
But even these charts don't make up for the fact that, as reported on NBC, voters over the age of 60 made up 37% of those who cast the ballots this year, but the midterm millennial malaise is back. Voters under the age of 30, you know how much?
I don't know. They were off getting stoned?
12%.
Yeah.
12%
of you. They weren't being sent to work. They weren't angry about anything.
We actually made a call earlier this week.
That's right, we did. We called American Youth. They've actually got a listed number.
We got a listed number for American Youth, and this is how
they had to say.
This is how the call went.
Hmm.
Hello, this is the Bill Show from Australia. Is this Young America on the phone?
That's the name they gave me.
Yeah, we were really just wondering how you're going with this whole voting thing. You guys ready to go out to vote?
This will be a little demonstration of that. Listen up. That was my skull. I'm so wasted.
That was it. That was the American News, Randall.
That was the voice of Young America. You know what? Although you have to say over 60s do make up about 38% of the population these days because of the bell curve of the...
Yeah, it's getting it's an older population.
The baby boomers, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's just so wrong. That's, you know...
12%? Fuck you!
Like, I remember, I was telling...
Hey, fuck you, Young America!
Yeah, fuck you, Young America!
Yeah, come on, I voted, right? Yeah, I'm not even living in the country, you assholes!
Listen to me.
Fucking hell.
Listen to me. I was 18. I just turned 18 in 1972. I was given the right to vote in the Nixon-McGovern election the first
time. That's right. And
18-year-olds were allowed to vote.
And what was the percentage of voter participation? I think it was like
60%. It was one of the highest ever. And only surpassed, I think, by the 2008 Barack Obama.
And that was in 1972, right?
Yes, 1972. Yeah, he lost.
But, you know, the thing is that this shouldn't, like, we were talking about them being stoned. Hey, listen, in 72, we were all stoned. We still voted.
Because we felt so, that was the first time we were able to vote.
Getting stoned to better music.
And better dope, too. It's cheaper, too. You could buy it from the Good Humor Man.
Yeah.
That's where he got his name.
Yeah, right.
Sorry. Now, look, I really think, you know how many turned out this election?
How many?
Overall?
Yeah.
36.6%.
Oh, Jesus.
That is all that turned out to vote in the election.
And now...
And you've got so... In my day, you had to go to the poll, you had to go to the place and vote on the day, and you got a little stub to pin to your shirt. Now you've got about six different ways to vote in America. You got early voting, postal voting, people come around to your house and take your vote if you're too old.
There has been a bit of voter suppression, but there's no excuse for the 36% turnout, man.
What if you don't have photo ID, like people who don't drive? We talked about this earlier. People who don't drive, people who don't have a driver's license or even a passport, you end up not being able to vote.
Listen, I happen to think that a lot of it is, you know, they've been trying to blame Obama for this.
How can you blame a sitting president?
I cannot understand this. You know, I mean, because we did a show last week about how the Democratic Party was like running away from
Obama because he was the kiss of death.
Yeah,
and don't come to my electorate and Barack for me. We call it Barack.
Democrats are such pussies. You know, can't you?
If you come to my electorate. I mean, look at that wonderful thing we had with Martin Sheen with that lady from Kentucky.
Yeah.
You know, that was a wonderful thing he did for her. I know she lost, but still.
Because he was advocating things like medical care and Social Security. Yeah, but what about things that people in Kentucky by polls agree with?
People actually said to Obama, don't come to my electorate and campaign for me because you're the kiss of death.
Here's what Chuck Todd.
Respect.
Chucky Todd, the corporate wing of the Republican Party at NBC, had a nice little interview with Ron Paul. Ron Paul, the son. Ron Paul. And Ron Paul's, of course, going to be one of the, you know, complete whack jobs that are going to run for president in 2016. But he interviewed Ron Paul, and this absolutely monstrous lie that has been repeated in the mainstream media that somehow the Democrats have been somehow responsible for the blockage of legislation in the Congress.
It's the opposite.
It is absolutely the opposite. Now watch how Chuck Todd reacts to when Ron Paul absolutely lies to him in the fucking face. And this is the problem with media coverage of this election. Hold on. Here it is. This is Chuck Todd and Ron Paul the day before the election.
Senator, sometime libertarian, and likely presidential candidate, Senator Paul, welcome back to Meet the Press.
Good morning, Chuck. Glad to be here.
So on Tuesday, if you guys, the Republican Party, gets control of the Senate, have the voters said they're voting for the Republican Party, or have the voters simply said they're voting against President Obama, and it's not a mandate for the GOP? How should the GOP interpret winning control of the Senate if that does happen?
You know, I think it'll be a combination of both. This is going to be a repudiation of the president's policies. The president is on the ballot in a way. This is a referendum on the president. So no question, this is a big message to the president. But also it's a message that people are tired of nothing getting done. The gridlock in Washington has largely been from the Democrats, who haven't allowed any legislation to come forward in the Senate. So I think if we win, you will see legislation passed, and you will see legislation sent to the desk of the president.
You know, a lot of Democrats would say House Republicans, you know, and Ted Cruz and some other people were responsible for the government shutdown, so that both parties take the blame here. But I'm going to ask
Chuck Todd, why didn't you just blow him? Why didn't you just take his cock in your mouth and blow him?
We're going to have to play the clown horn again.
No, fuck him. It is not two sides, Chuck. It's bullshit. He just lied to you in the face. The Democrats are most responsible for all the gridlock in Washington, and you didn't say? That's bullshit. Ted Cruz stopped the government. The entire shutdown.
You mean the Canadian
term.
Ted Cruz?
Yeah, the Canadian Cruz.
The Cubanadian.
Shut down the fucking government.
Yeah, but the Democrats made him do it.
What?
Yes.
You know what? I was just like, we're rewriting history, guy. Black is white. This is 1984.
Yeah.
And then Chuck Todd, this is amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is what such a fucking, just an asshole Chuck Todd is. And he's so subtle. This is what he said after Obama lost on the news broadcast.
What did he say?
After that. I have it right here. This is
Obama hasn't lost anything.
This is Chuck Todd after the election. Here it is.
I did hear from Democrats today. They think the president needs new people around him.
And not only that, I heard from Democrats today that thought the president made a mistake not accepting more responsibility today at that press conference. What's amazing here is that this was a horrendous night for the Democratic Party, and the president's not talking about changing either his style or the White House staff. The same people that led Congress today, Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, both have announced they're going to do it again. So there is some concern among Democrats that there's no accepting of responsibility.
That is absolutely right. It's not Obama's fault.
What is he? Obama hasn't lost anything. It was a midterm election.
Hey, Chuck, you remember this?
I'm not Barack Obama.
You guys dropped him like a bad habit.
Yeah, listen, Allison, you're not the senator from Kentucky either. Yeah,
you know what the difference is between Allison and Barack Obama? Barack Obama has a fucking job, Allison.
Yeah, but I mean, the point is like, fuck, if you can't support your president,
really?
when you're running to be in his be a representative in his party, and you can't support your own sitting president. That's crazy.
That's crazy. And I think that's the root of the problem, Randall. I mean, I just, you know, you had a bucket load of candidates who stood for pretty much nothing. How can you not run a successful campaign on lower unemployment and universal health care? I mean,
on a low deficit,
yeah.
on consumer confidence, on all of the normal economic indicators in America are up.
Yeah, but the perception that the Republicans have been spreading through this Fox News shit is just, you know, and by the way, the media is to blame for Obama not getting any
credit.
Carrying lies, and just not even, it's what the Chuck Todd thing says. It's just that they're never challenged. I'd like you to listen to something. This is a record of the Republican Party candidates actually being interviewed on Fox, okay? This is Media Matters for America. You got a compilation of this. And this is kind of pornography.
You told me this was called something, yeah. But it's embarrassing.
It is. Here it is. Fox News filleting Republicans. Here we go.
So, Senator, most people on both sides say you're one of the top retail politicians in the country, essentially because you actually like people and like meeting them.
Actually, you're doing really well. Yesterday, you got an endorsement from a prominent Democrat there in New Hampshire, Bob Preston, the former Democratic leader of the state Senate. Why do you think he decided to pick you over the woman in his party?
I suck Satan's cock. Put that big scaly pecker down your gullet. Drink that black worm jism. Drink it.
But that was, yes, because that's exactly what Fox does every damn day.
Yes.
There's only one way to describe it.
Rupert
that's
Murdoch,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now we've got something that I think is really exciting.
What's that? What have you got for me?
A motivational speech from, you know,
Oh, actually, yes, because we cut this. Because I was listening to, I was listening to, how do you get people up after?
Adrian!
Yeah, that's right. How do you get people up? Because a lot of people listen to this show. You guys probably in the same political sphere.
Yo, Adrian.
And you just yeah. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you because I think that the Republicans have got to stop blaming Obama and actually take responsibility. And this I heard from this is from one of the Rocky films.
Let's hear it.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I want to hear this motivational speech.
Here it is. Let us find our wisdom in the mouth of Sylvester Stallone.
Yo, Adrian!
But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
That's how winning is done. Yeah, look,
show some fucking balls.
Let,
for God's
let
sake.
Bartlett be Bartlett. Let Obama be Obama.
And try supporting him.
Yeah, try supporting him. And also, some of the best stuff to come out is advice to the GOP: don't poison the well over the next 2 years, because you've actually got to put a try to put a president in the White House in 2016. And if you guys fuck around and get really nasty over the next 2 years, you're just going to be death.
Politically. You think that they have to be very, very careful with the voting?
They have to be very, very careful.
See, I don't know. I don't mean to be a cynic. See, I don't mean to be a cynic, but, you know, it's not whether or not they could do some damage now, but it's also the fact, if they did damage, would it be covered that way in the media? Because, you know, Obama is like the best-kept secret in the world. To Americans, they run around saying that their budget deficit has gotten bigger. It hasn't.
No, and they don't. You know what?
It's a lie.
People don't even understand what deficit means. You know, people don't understand what surplus means. People don't understand what debt means as a percentage of gross domestic product. Mm. People don't understand those fiscal indicators. They just quote them and saying the deficit's huge.
Yeah, but that's what they told you on Fox to say. Yeah. You know,
if you understand the financial power of this enormous nation of America, a $4 billion deficit is pocket change compared to your financial muscle.
Yeah, but Obama's done a fantastic economic job.
This is
from a guy who doesn't really like Obama all that much. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't like a lot of what Obama does, and I've said that on the show, but I've been shocked at the way the Democratic Party has been just scraping him off like shit.
Yeah, but also I'm shocked about how Republicans and ignorant people have said, you know, he's the problem. Obama's the problem. Yeah. Obama's the problem. In the White House,
I actually have a cut from C-SPAN.
Yeah.
Which is a guy who just sits there and he says it.
Yeah.
He literally says it. You know, it's
a white guy.
A white guy. This is a guy.
Let's have a listen.
This is on C-SPAN. It was this week.
Let's go to Anthony joining us from San Diego. Good morning, Republican line.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Yes, I would just like to say that the Republicans, and I'm a Republican, please do not overreach. I know they're going to overreach, but I'm telling you, if you advocate for the repeal of Obamacare and you get too extreme, then Hillary Clinton will be elected president in 2016. This is about race. The Republicans hate that nigger Obama.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there. We're not going to use that kind of language as we move on.
Yeah, but they didn't dump him, and he was actually making an awful lot of sense. Just like I said, they,
before he, you know, hauled out the N-word so easily.
Yeah. Well, they say the N-word and the C-word are about par as being the most unpopular and unsavory words in the English language.
Well, what he says, first of all, he says about overreaching. I don't think the Republicans have a hope in hell of getting rid of Obamacare. I think that as longer people have it, the more they're going to like it, and that's going to be something that's going to stay. But what the fuck do I know?
Well, it's actually been better than they expected.
Yeah, but
a large percentage of that 30% of Americans
absolutely.
Who had no health insurance now have some coverage.
And it was a Republican plan. So what do you have your knickers in a toss for? Mm. Bob Dole introduced it years ago. It's a Republican plan.
Yeah.
And the reason that they hate it is the second part of what this guy said. That N-word in the White House.
Yeah.
This is all about race. It always is. Mm. They hate him.
Mm.
And because he's a black guy. Mm. All right? This is it. Even some of the Democrats, I swear to God, they hate him. And they just, the way the Democratic Party just absolutely dropped him like a bad habit is just disgusting.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yes.
We got a few things to talk about. Listen, we're going to come back.
Let's have a break.
Take a break. We'll come back in just 1 minute.
1 minute.
And finally, new rule, Democrats have to wake up and realize that voting is the one thing that scares Republicans, which is why Republicans try to make it so hard. But not impossible. Of course it's sleazy, racist, and anti-democratic to pass voter ID laws. But the fact that they're making it harder to vote, let that inspire you. You're an underdog. You're Brad Pitt in a tank. And is it really that hard to get a stupid ID card? And no, I'm not talking about the 100-year-old lady whose birth certificate was lost in the Triangle shirtwaist fire. I'm talking to people out there who won't stand in line for an hour to vote, but who'll camp out in front of Best Buy on Thanksgiving night to buy a TV 3 inches bigger than the one they already have. Okay, so this is it, folks. The midterms are here in 4 days, and Democrats are in big trouble, despite the fact that the only idea the Republicans have this election is don't let anybody get you started on rape. But it didn't have to be this way. If Democratic candidates would just stop throwing their own people and achievements under the bus and distancing themselves from their own president, that is never a winning strategy. Just ask President Al Gore. Clay Aiken, who's running in Congress in North Carolina, recently said about the president, I have nothing to do with him, and I can find several areas where I disagree. Okay, but come Wednesday, Obama will still have a job, whereas I don't know what Clay will be doing. Although I assume it involves a cruise ship and a cover of Copacabana. Well, sorry, but the one I feel bad for is Obama. 63 straight months of economic expansion, a depression averted, a deficit reduced by 2/3, a health care law that's working and lowering costs, 2 women on the Supreme Court, bin Laden's dead, stock market at record heights, an unemployment rate that dropped from 10.2 to 5.9. If you're a Fox News viewer trying to do the math, that's less. Gas prices are down. Is it really that hard a record to get behind? And yet the way these Democrats have been distancing themselves from the president, you would think he'd just flown in from Liberia with his lunch in a barf bag. There are beheading videos with more likes. The Democrats have 3 Senate candidates who won't even admit to having voted for Obama. Kentucky's Allison Grimes was an Obama delegate. How do you explain that? Hey, that's why they call it a convention. I was drunk. It's like if someone asked, do you have sex with your husband? And you replied, I'd rather not say. But I will say that when my husband does want to have sex, I often disagree. I mean, come on. Come on, Democrats. You gave people health care, not herpes. Own it. Instead of chasing polls, move them. And speaking of chasing polls, one more thing about Clay Aiken. Clay was asked if he'd like the President of the United States to come campaign for him, and he said, I don't need that. We're doing well. No, you're not. You're gay in North Carolina. Have you looked around? Half the state is redneck, which is a huge improvement. It used to be all redneck. That's the good news, that now there actually is in North Carolina a liberal base that you could have energized instead of this pipe dream of trying to make the Duck Dynasty types vote for a guy who's had his eyebrows done. Democrats are always doing this, and that's why they're just like Clay on American Idol, happy to come in second. To me, this sums it all up. On gay marriage, Clay Aiken said, it's not an issue that's really on the radar here. It's not something that affects people's daily lives. Well, it affects some of them, like, I don't know, you. And this is why Clay Aiken is definitely going to lose. He's having trouble getting the Clay Aiken vote.
I wish I were a wiki-watchy mermaid. Swimming in the wiki-watchy spring.
Hi, this is the Big Dick. You may wonder what I've been up to. Well, I've been down here doing Hitler's laundry and being forced to listen to this damn country music. Shut up! I also got to work with Mao, Pol Pot, and Stalin. And Mao's kind of fun, but Stalin's a drunk. Fucking commies! Anyway, when I'm done, I get to listen to the Bill Show. Actually, they make us do it. It's part of the program. God damn it, shut up! I am, you know who I am, I could have you killed.
Back to me. I wish I were a wiki-watchy mermaid.
We here at the Bill Show have been looking at Alternet, and Alternet had something that was very interesting.
This is very funny.
And we're going to share it with you. So with all credit to the folks over at Alternet, ladies and gentlemen, this is the five craziest conspiracy theories that freshman Republicans will be bringing to Congress. That's right, the people you elected, ladies and gentlemen.
We're going
to
bring their own tinfoil hats.
They're going to bring their tinfoil hats, and they're serious. Randy, give me number one.
Well, number one is Agenda 21.
What's now, Agenda 21?
Agenda 21, in the late 90s, the United Nations came up with a non-binding, meaning non-binding treaty on sustainable development methods.
Yes.
Okay? But... yeah. Recently, the GOP people have got their knickers in an absolute twist.
Why?
Over this. The Canadian Ted Cruz predicted that Agenda 21 will bring an end to paved roads and golf courses. And Glenn Beck actually wrote a dystopian thriller. Dystopian meaning like, you know...
End of the world thriller.
About the dire consequences of this thing called Agenda 21. Now... your friend and mine, Senator-elect Joni Ernst, the Republican from Iowa, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa, shares their fears. Last year, Ernst predicted, and I quote, that Agenda 21 agents may start moving people off of their agricultural land and consolidating them in city centers and then telling them that you don't have any property rights anymore. These are all things that the U.N. is behind, and it's bad for the United States. Bad for families here in the state of Iowa, and bad for people who just love watching reruns of Is This Heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Yes, if you build the crazy, it will come. All right, number two, I happen to have this one.
Oh, I want to hear this one.
Never mind just making up stuff about ISIS. Never mind the fact that there have been exactly zero official reports of ISIS members coming to the USA via the southern border. I mean, like
through
none.
Mexico.
Like zero. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
and they have Ebola as well.
Yeah, that's right. So closing the border has emerged as a leading Republican talking point when describing how they plan to fight the terrorist group ISIS, which has never recorded not one person going across the border. Tom Cotton, the Arkansas congressman, who won his race to the U.S. Senate this week, said during his campaign that his opponent and President Obama were, quote, refusing to secure our border. And as a result, ISIS is now at the gates!
The barbarians are at the gates!
Groups like the Islamic State collaborate with drug cartels in Mexico, who have clearly shown they're willing to expand outside the drug trade to human trafficking and potentially even terrorism. They can infiltrate our defenseless border and attack us right here in places like Arkansas! The conspiracy theory about ISIS infiltrating the U.S. through the border in Mexico first emerged on the conspiracy theory outlet World Net Daily.
Oh, WND.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, really, nutcase. And these things typically go and was then picked up by the pundits at, guess where?
Faux News.
The whorehouse in Texas, Fox News. Eventually, the fallacious claims became...
Well, don't say fallacious again.
I say fallacious anytime I want, young man.
You say fallacious.
Became... Let's call the whole thing off. Because the fallacious claims came as became a great way for Republican candidates like David Perdue and Tom Tillis to attack their opponents on both foreign policy and immigration in the same stupid point.
And terrorism. Oh, my turn.
You have number three.
Beware of blood moons. Now, everybody knows what a blood moon is. It means like it's a lunar eclipse when the Earth gets between the sun and the moon. And even though some light still hits the moon, it's enough to put it in shadow, and it actually turns red.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, there it does. I've seen blood moon before.
Okay, blood moon. And we've actually in Australia had two of them already this year.
We have.
And there was one the night they cut off John the Baptist's head. While conservative...
I wasn't around then.
No, but it says something in that history book that a lot of people read.
Oh, okay.
While conservative politicians have denounced the science behind climate change as a big lie, not a big lie, the big lie. Some are very interested in the science behind blood moons.
What are blood moons, Randy?
I just told you, Cud. Your short-term memory loss is impressive.
Okay. What do they signify to Republicans? That's what I'm...
I don't know, man. But with more religious right-wing activists arguing that lunar eclipses are actually the signs of God's impending judgment against America for policy. Not the fucking moon actually can be seen by every other country on the fucking globe. Yeah. It's not about fucking America, you dipsticks. Okay, now, arguing that lunar eclipses are actually the signs of God's impending judgment against America for policies such as abortion rights. Every abortion should have the rights. And LGBT equality. Now, Jody Heiss, that's a male Jody, the Georgia Republican, who just won a seat in the U.S. House, for example, told listeners on his talk show that appearances of blood moons have preceded world-changing, shaking-type events. I don't know. I mean, world-shaking or, anyway, changing type.
I don't know. Whatever. I don't know, man.
I am certainly aware of the fact that every time... Is this a Georgia...
Yes, a Republican senator.
No, no, no. I want to be Georgian. Every time I'm aware of the fact that every time there have been blood moons like this, there have been major events that have followed. Jeez. That's because they have it all the fucking time, you dickhead. Okay. Now, because Congress should move to study blood moons rather than climate change.
Absolutely amazing. Hey, it's number four.
Well, number four of the absolutely ridiculous conspiracy theories
amazing.
Of refreshment GOP people.
Congressman, yeah. Guy named U.S. Representative Glenn Grothman, who once warned that some school classes are the result of an agenda
but
which
he's
is...
He's from Wisconsin. He's a cheesehead.
Yes. Who warned that some school classes are the results of an agenda, which is left unsaid, is that some of those who throw it out as an option would like it if more people became homosexuals.
More kids.
That's right.
More
sex kids. Ed classes in Wisconsin are there as part of a homosexual conspiracy to turn people gay. That's the new representative from Wisconsin, Glenn Grossman. Grossman instead proposes that schools enact their own don't ask, don't tell policies, lest growing support for gay rights in the America would lead to divine punishment.
Ouch.
Heist.
And a blood moon.
As it happens, shares Grothman's concerns about gay recruitment, once citing a satirical 1987 essay to claim that gay people want to sodomize your sons and seduce them in your schools. Ladies and gentlemen,
they don't understand satire, do they?
New U.S. representative from Wisconsin, Glenn Grossman.
Thank you, Glenn.
You got one for me?
I think he's been eating too much of that white margarine.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
At least one Republican candidate knows the true identity of the Antichrist.
Who is it?
It's not Barack Obama. It's
Donald Trump.
It's Hillary Clinton.
Hillary Clinton?
Ryan Zink. The or Zinke, the
Z-I-N-K-E.
Okay,
yeah.
M-O-U-S-E. The successful Montana GOP U.S. House candidate,
yeah,
who helped launch the Super PAC, Special Operations for America. Fuck yeah! Told the Republican group that Clinton is Satan's bride, and that he knows this to be because he speaks the truth.
What did he say?
In his own words.
Yeah. What did he say?
It's time to stop the lies. Let's talk about the truth, Zink said. Who trusts the U.S. government, he said rhetorically. No one in this room. I've served in 25 nations. I've seen where people don't trust their governments. We're there. In the military, the last option is to send in the SEALs. Now, Zink said he wants to restore the truth, grace, honor, and decency, which he called our moral compass. It has always been Judeo-Christian, he said. And with the president administration, it's whatever you can get away with. It will never bow to pressure.
I will
do what's right.
Yeah.
We need to focus on the real enemy, he said, referring to former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, whom he called the Antichrist. Now, after getting in out that last for the last remark, Zink later said that the Antichrist comment was actually a joke.
Oh, my God.
So there you have it. In an election where pundits raved about establishment Republicans crushing Tea Party insurgents, it seems that the GOP establishment has simply appropriated the Tea Party's tarnished brand of paranoid politics and unmistakable extremism.
I'd like to thank Alternet for that article. That was absolutely fantastic.
And you know what?
It's very rare that we kind of just read out an article, but this was hilarious.
But Satan is a Judeo-Christian concept. He's an imaginary friend, just like the man upstairs, okay?
Yeah, don't say that.
Why?
Because people get pissed
off.
I'd
love to get hate mail. I'd love to get any mail anyway. So, but you know what I mean. Okay, sorry. We have imaginary enemies just like we have imaginary friends.
Now, you picked up a cut here from a guy named James Lanford.
James Lanford?
Yeah.
The new senator from Oklahoma.
Okay.
O-K-L-A-H-O-M-A, okay. Oklahoma.
Okay, now, this is the new senator from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And this is his...
He actually gave up a seat in the House to move upstairs because he thought he could do better.
Yeah.
And this is what this man had to say.
This is his take on what they have to do now that they're in power. Here it is.
I come from a biblical worldview in the way that I address issues. When I look at Nehemiah and how he handled things when he stepped into Jerusalem, it was that the people were in disgrace and the wall was broken down. But the two things that he focused in on was the infrastructure side of things and the debt. Half of the book of Nehemiah is just getting the people out of debt and so they could actually take on the other things. We can't handle national defense right now. We can't handle a lot of things that we need to do and that need to be driven by states because we have so much debt. So that should remain a big focus for us to get ourselves out of debt. We are proof that our nation really is a slave to the lender.
And there you go, the fiction that Republicans cut debt. That's the thing, man. They've been sold this wonderful fiction that the Republicans actually cut debt. The biggest cutter of debt so far, right, was Clinton, followed by Obama. Okay? Biggest masses of debt have been Republicans. George W. Bush actually broke the bank, the Treasury. He broke it. So when you hear these guys coming into the Senate saying they're going to repair the national debt, just like it says in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. Nebuchadnezzar like said, no, that wasn't him. It was, whatever it was a... Was it Nebuchadnezzar? That was just a big bottle of champagne.
I have no idea what this guy was babbling about. I was going, what? So anyway, listen, we're going to play a little bit from Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. They're going to be right back with a little fairy tale.
The day after the Democrats got their balls waxed, President Obama announced that he was going to take action whether the new Congress was with him or not.
The president also said he'll bypass Congress with an executive order on immigration reform.
I'm eager to see what they have to offer. But in the meantime, let's figure out what we can do lawfully through executive actions to improve the functioning of the existing system. What I'm not going to do is just wait.
I mean, it's been 2 days. Should I call them? Should they call me? I mean, I don't know what to do. I don't want to look desperate, but I am a little desperate. But it does raise the question. He's excited about doing stuff now, but what was he doing before the election?
More controversial decisions delayed by the Obama administration until after the elections.
Everything from the nomination of a new attorney general to decisions on the controversial Keystone XL pipeline, immigration reform, corporate tax reform, and rates for the Affordable Care Act.
The White House says that action was taken at the request of Senate Democrats.
Three senators, Mark Pryor, Kay Hagan, and Mary Landrieu, asked the president to delay his decision to have some executive orders mitigating immigration, deportation. Oh, Senate Democrats wanted to avoid votes on contentious issues so they wouldn't have to take unpopular stands that might cost them re-election. And they got the president to go along with it. It's a well-known political maneuver known as the Chicken Gambit. It's named, of course, for Senator Dickless H. Chicken, who, when he was asked whether he supported the Emancipation Proclamation, famously said, "What? What?" And then had to pretend to be hard of hearing for the rest of his life. But if you're basing your agenda purely on what helps red state Democrats, how about the Keystone Pipeline? Keystone Pipeline's more popular in red states than Chick-fil-A's new Patriot basket. Why not just approve that before the election?
Friday's Obama administration decision to delay construction of the Keystone Pipeline, again, may turn out to be a boost for Democrats who oppose the project. It allows vulnerable Democrats from energy-producing red states room to distance themselves from President Obama and oppose him.
Oh, come on. Democrats are not so cynical that the president would delay action on a project just so fellow Democrats could attack him for delaying that action.
Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu denouncing the latest delay, saying, quote, "This decision is irresponsible, unnecessary, and unacceptable." Alaska Senator Mark Begich says, quote, "I am frankly appalled at the continued foot-dragging by this administration." Arkansas's Mark Pryor said, quote, "There's no excuse for another delay. The president needs to approve this project now."
Adding, wink. So last April, 7 months ago, Obama delays his Keystone decision. Red state Democrats get points for attacking the president. Blue state Democrats get points for attacking the pipeline. It was a win-win. Except for one thing. They all lost. Pryor lost. Hagan lost. Begich lost. The only one who hasn't lost is Landrieu. She's going into a runoff, which she's gonna lose. It's like Democrats came up with this plan to produce springtime for Hitler, but only because they really thought it was a good f-ing play. And by the way, that Keystone Pipeline, you delayed the decision on that back in April. That's 7 months before the election. You don't have that kind of governing time. These elections are 2 years apart.
If you take out the 7 months before the election where things are going, and then you go for the first few months of the new election where the new guys are unpacking and figuring out the email, plus summer recess, plus spring recess, autumn apple picking, the week when the senator's parents come to visit, House of Reps, Sadie Hawkins dance, obviously all the time spent fundraising. Basically, there's one day in March when, weather permitting, you think you can get done without politically harming one thing or the other. And apparently this year, Democrats spent that day sitting around trying to make that sound. So, to recap, the Democrats' 2014 strategy, instead of doing things that the people who voted for them would like, they decided to not do anything so as not to offend the voters who already didn't like them. Or, to put that in the classic words of Dickless H. Chicken, what? We'll be right back.
And now another fractured Bill Show fairy tale from Uncle Randy.
Thank you, Uncle Randy.
Yeah. 11 ways to cope with living in a Republican America. Now that we're a Republican America, thanks to the millions of voters who decided to stay at home on Election Day and give the rule of the land to the Koch brothers, we need some guidelines for our new reality. For those of us who did not willingly cooperate with this handoff of power, here's a list of ways to get with the program. Number one, move to Oregon. This last bastion of liberalism, mostly centered around Portland and Eugene, is a balm for the outlier's soul. With any luck, it'll secede from the Union. With a little more luck, the Republican Congress will facilitate that recession. If not, thanks to the state's newly approved marijuana initiative, you'll at least be free to toke yourself into oblivion until the winds of change blow once more. Number two.
What's number two?
Become a survivalist. They even have shows on TV.
Yeah,
shows.
Right. Yeah.
Without a safety net available to you, you'll do well to learn to live off the land, eating berries, killing deer, filtering water. But you better not delay heading for the hills. They're likely to get mighty crowded real quick. Number three.
What?
Write a survivalist's guide.
I don't know.
When it becomes a bestseller, you won't have to become a survivalist and move to the hills yourself, because you'll become part of the 1% and do like they do. Laugh all the way to the bank at the expense of the poor suckers trying to live off the land and follow your advice. Move to Washington, not D.C., although you could also toke yourself into oblivion there as of Tuesday, but not the state, but to the state. They just passed a new gun control law that actually controls guns that requires a universal background check, like everybody should have to do before buying a lethal weapon, including private sales and transfers, before a person can purchase a firearm. At least there's one state where your chances of being gunned down by a random idiot is slightly less.
Okay. You
want to do one?
Can I do one?
Yeah, you do
one. Okay. Number five, invest in fossil fuels.
Oh, my goodness.
Historically, that's been one of the best ways to become part of the 1%. With a Republican Congress, the recent slowdown in profits should quickly reverse itself. On the other hand, if you are contemplating investing in renewable energy, forget that shit. That's so yesterday, and it will keep you in the 99%. Randall.
Oh, start an underground railroad to smuggle Americans into Canada. Woo-hoo. Just like they used to do in the 1850s.
Yeah.
This will require a bit of work, because you'll have to find some Canadians willing to assist, at least by turning a blind eye. This may sound a little too humanitarian for Republican America, but business is going to be booming shortly. There are surely huge profits to be made from those who are already eyeing the northern border. I'm sure you'll be welcomed by open arms with all those old Vietnam
how you doing, eh?
Draft dodgers. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You wanna watch some ice hockey?
This one's just for you. You'll like this.
Learn to like cat food. Yeah, cat food, not dog food, which apparently creates a really bad kind of flatulence. As a matter of fact, write a book on cooking with cat food. It should make you some money for a while, at least until the Koch brothers figure out how to jack up the price of cat food beyond an average person's ability to fucking pay for it. In that case, you might have to eat your cat. Come here, Tabby.
Okay, buy a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Suits and ties for men, tight skirts, low-cut blouses, and stiletto heels for women.
Let me know you're a woman.
Yeah, you want to fit in, don't you? Make sure to buy your rape insurance, ladies. And if you do get raped, just lie back and enjoy it. You want to find a job? Just check out old episodes of Mad Men, and you'll do fine. You can even shop at Goodwill. Now there's a saving for you.
Number 9, join a church, goddammit.
Oh, goddammit.
There are all sorts of benefits to this.
Imaginary friends have never been more popular.
Yeah, evaluate. You'll have a bully pulpit to speak from. And you can claim all kinds of tax exemptions. Plus the right to avoid doing what you don't want to do while making others do what you want to do. It wouldn't be surprising if churches are soon declared to be people. Just make sure it's not the Catholic Church. Pope Francis is giving Republicans fits, and they're probably looking for ways to ban his teachings and toss his church all the way back to Rome.
Oh, move to Arizona. You know, that old state that you thought was really cool? But John McCain's waiting for you. They're adopting a constitutional amendment that allows the state of Arizona to reject any federal law that they want to. The government can also keep any level of official form from cooperating, any official from cooperating with federal laws that they don't like. Really. It's called Proposition 122, and at this writing is ahead by 2 percentage points. With 97% of precincts counted. This should be especially useful with the Republican Congress in charge of making the laws.
And number 11, join the Border Patrol.
The Border Patrol.
Yeah, join the Border Patrol.
Yeah.
You'll always have a job on the county, country's southern border, even in Arizona. A Republican Congress is no doubt going to find new and inventive ways to keep brown-skinned people, Ebola, and phantom terrorists from crossing the border with Mexico, while giving a wink to the northern border, where compatriots will be smuggling everything from arms to hostages to everything. By the way, did you ever have a problem getting into Canada?
Canada? No.
I guess it is kind of a
racial
thing.
They're going to blow up the bridges. They're going to blow up the... You watch.
By the way, who wrote this? Eh? We're reading off of...
This is from the delightful work of... you've got it here.
I've got it right here. Her name, ladies and gentlemen, and we do have to give credit where... Deb Montesano, and it's at ifyouonlynews.com. We read Deb's blog post, and we are giving full credit to Deb. Ifyouonlynews.com. I want you to go over there.
She's also their reporter for class warfare, economics, elections, guns, politicians behaving badly, politics, and religion.
Absolutely.
That's her specialty.
So, listen, ifyouonlynews.com, go see her. She's fantastic.
No, she's terrific.
She is wonderful. So,
and here's a little bit of news that just broke for us.
What's that?
The body is hardly cold.
Yes.
And there's not been a real postmortem yet.
No.
But already the Republicans and the conservatives are throwing their hats in the ring. Does anybody still wear a hat?
I don't know.
Throwing their hats in the ring to run for president in 2016. And the first is the...
Dr. Ben Carson.
The black Fox News commentator, conservative Fox News commentator. And, he's going to run.
And they just dropped him from Fox News.
Yeah, because he's going
to
run.
He's looking to make money.
Yeah, well, he's looking
That's
to make money.
That's what people do. Like that pizza guy that ran. Remember him?
Yeah, the pizza guy and the gay guy from Chick-fil-A.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to be back with our tinfoil hats on this election day.
I better go and get my roll of Alcoa. Let's go.
And wrap up your head. We'll be back in a minute.
It's these bailouts that represent the abandonment of the capitalism.
Blowing the tops off mountains.
If you're out of a job, I guess you're a bum. They don't think that maybe it wasn't their fault. Maybe it was your fault, Orrin Hatch.
In healthcare, the lie that we should just allow the industry to run in a free market mode, the invisible hand of the market's going to take care of itself, nothing is farther from the truth.
This is Obama's my pet goat moment.
There's a Bush up for that.
Isn't this the end of democracy as we know it? If 51 senators can pass something against the will of the majority, 49.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media, edited, organized, and mixed, only at bestoftheleft.com.
And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that song again, that tune again, that means it's that time in the show where we listen to the news and commentary that we listen to because we hate our own heads. It's our tinfoil hat segment today.
We've got a couple of absolute beauties.
Barn burners, ladies and gentlemen, barn burners.
Barn burners.
Okay.
Our midterm election post-mortem show.
Well, listen, we've got one. You know what really pisses me off? Randall, and I'll tell you.
Yes. Well, I know several things.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me the one that you're about to tell me now.
This week it's Keith Abelow. Dr. Keith Abelow.
He's the Dr. Phil of Fox News.
Not only has Obama had to sit back while the Democratic Party has been just one large pussy machine and not even standing up for the poor guy with a wonderfully, but I tell you, there are people around the world sitting there going, what the fuck do you want? And basically, the Democratic Party just leaving him in droves. Not only that, this is some of the shit that he has to put up with over at Fox. Dr. Keith Abelow is a psychologist, isn't that right?
A psychiatrist.
And he's been doing this kind of...
I think he's just psycho.
He's just a... And basically, he's been sitting there making kind of, I don't know. He's trying to analyze. He's been trying to analyze the president. And basically, it's just gone into like the personal
cuckoo land.
Personal attacks on this president are absolutely obscene. Here he is, Dr. Keith Abelow, a montage of really personal nasty shit. So here he is.
Dr. Keith Abelow is a forensic psychiatrist and a member of our Fox News Medical A team. Dr. Keith, good morning.
Yeah, look, I'm a doctor, right? So the data matters to me, and I object to using pseudoscience to justify political agendas. We have to talk to our children and say the message from the president is toxic, and it can affect your life negatively if you listen to what he's saying and believe it.
I think psychologically speaking, it's time for him to wonder whether something about having a white grandmother who had it in for or had fear of black men really soured him on white folks at some deep level.
He's a dispiriting president who has it in for the American public. And
why?
He masterfully... Why? Because I think that he... Well, it's a long story, but I think he distrusts autonomy. I think people abandoned him in his life again and again and again, and individual decision-making is anathema to him. He hates it.
When you don't have a core, you're able to slip the binding of your own existence, if you will, and play other presidents. And that grasping for who am I? Am I Teddy Roosevelt? Am I Abraham Lincoln?
I assure you I'm not a pedophile at all.
I
did not evaluate Joe Biden, but if someone said to me, listen, we want you to do what's really required to know what happened there, you have to put dementia on the differential diagnosis.
And sometimes when you're editing... Ladies and gentlemen, that was our big first ass hat or tinfoil hat for this episode. And then we went into the editing suite and we found out after Randall left that we've lost some of the show. So that'll teach you. That'll teach you. But we're going to pick up the other tinfoil hat we had. We're going to hold it till next show. But listen, I'm saying and wrapping it up tonight, saying thank you for tuning into the Bill Show, and both me and Randall appreciate you coming here. If you want to talk to us, you can reach us on The Bill Show on XBR at gmail.com. You can also reach us over at Facebook at The Bill Show on XBR. We are now, of course, on Podbay FM, which is absolutely fantastic. Also on Stitcher Radio, and you can reach us through iTunes. Sorry about the awkward end to the show tonight, but we're going to leave you with something very nice from the musical Frozen. And we'll be back to you in about 2 weeks with more American politics from an expat point of view here on The Bill Show with Bill and Randy. Good night.
Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation. And it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.